great blessing today. So if we could stand and honor Dr. Eric, we appreciate that, please.
Hello? Am I on?
Yeah, you're good.
Noon? 12 o'clock straight up? 12:30? There's no football games on today, so we should be able to be here quite some time, right? Good morning. It's great to be with you guys. As your pastor said, my name is Eric Ferguson, and believe it or not, my dad's name is Denny Ferguson, so kind of feel at home. And they actually lived in Findlay for 20 years, so something's weird about that, you know. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In 1995, God gave me a vision for a parachurch organization, gave me the word metanoia as the name of that ministry. That was in 95, went through some more schooling, moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and we were pastoring in Louisville. And in January of 2002, we're on a 21-day fast, and God spoke to us and said it's time to launch out with the vision he gave me in 1995. And so we resigned from our position the end of May of 2002 and moved to Nicaragua June the 2nd of 2002. So if you can do the math there, we didn't itinerate, we didn't raise money, we gave everything we owned away. Instead of God's called us to the mission field, he's going to provide for us. And so we were there for 15 years. We established an orphanage, we have widows' home, we started schools, we have medical crusades every month, we do pastors' training, we plant churches, we do a little bit of everything. In 2003, we actually started a coffee company called Joy Bean Coffee, which is, I think you guys are using it, if I'm not mistaken, still presently at this moment, you use it in your coffee shop here, and the proceeds from that go back into our children's programs. We feed over 5,000 kids a week in our feeding centers, so that helps offset our costs. So for every bag of coffee that you buy, we're actually able to give 10 meals to kids in Nicaragua. So just to give you kind of, every bag gives 10 meals. We've got books I've written in the back. There's some other product and stuff there, but the proceeds from what you see on the back go back into ministry. But I'm not here to talk about that today. We're going to preach, but I think we do have a video this morning still, right? So I just want you to show you one of the projects we're working on right now. We move back to the States in November, the end of November. But I go back and forth. I'll be going back next Monday for a week. I'll go back. So every 4 to 6 weeks, I go back and forth. All of our staff's in position there. We have an operations director running everything. But one of the things we're doing is we're building houses for the poor. Last year, we built 25 houses. This year, our goal is to build 50 houses. And every house costs $2,000 for us to build. So you'll see here, it's just kind of give you an idea, see what Nicaragua looks like, see the construction we're doing. So far this year. Next week we'll start on construction of another 4 houses. Then May, June, July, August, when we have a lot of teams that come down. A lot of those churches have already raised the money to build houses as well, and their teams want to build houses. So I really don't think that we're going to have a problem reaching 50 houses this year, but it's definitely it's a goal, it's a challenge. As you guys know, if you want to be a part of that, please feel free. If you guys will, let's pray one more time this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence that's here with us. And Lord, we ask that you open up our minds and our hearts to receive from you today. Lord, you didn't bring us here by chance, but you brought us here with purpose. Lord, I ask that you speak to each and every one of us, that your perfect will be done. Lord, touch lives, touch hearts, touch minds today. Bring transformation, bring healing. Let us leave challenged and equipped to do your work. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Do you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
All right, I don't know because I'm in front of the monitors. I'm not hearing myself too well. That's probably better that way. I don't know if you guys have seen recently, but I just saw this actually on the news. 1,200 miles off of Madagascar, 2,000 miles in the ocean, They just discovered in this mining where they're going to begin to mine, they just discovered six new creatures, species that they've never seen before. Did you see that? Six new creatures. And because they're going to drill, they're probably going to destroy them, but that's another story for another day. But I want you to think about that. 2 miles. 2 miles deep into the ocean, they found these things. I'm sure a couple years ago you saw this on the news, it was all over. They found this Japanese fisherman deep in the ocean, got this squid. And this squid was literally as long as this row right here. You guys remember seeing that?
Yeah.
They just discovered another one that's like 3 miles in the ocean, that's literally 34 feet long.
Wow.
A squid. You see, these scientists keep discovering ways to go deeper and deeper into the ocean. They developed these submarines at one point. Now they got things that aren't manned by people. And they go deeper and deeper into the ocean. They continue to discover all these things. They just recently discovered algae that has a way to produce energy. It's in the ocean. They're saying that they can cultivate this algae, get it out of the ocean, begin to cultivate it. We won't need nuclear energy. They could actually have this thing cultivated and be able to produce energy. But see, the scientists aren't content right there. They continue to discover ways to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean. Every time they go a little deeper, they discover something new. I mean, could you imagine if the scientists were content saying, well, you know, we discovered algae last month. We don't need to do anything this month. Oh, who cares, a 34-foot squid, all that calamari we could eat, you know. They say it's enough. But they don't. They're hungry. They want more. They continue to discover these ways to go deeper and deeper in the ocean. And as they continue to go deeper and deeper, they have these new discoveries. Things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. Do you see a parallel? What would happen if we in the body of Christ would say, you know what? I'm not content coming to church on Sunday, sitting in the pew. I'm not content coming Friday when we have special service. I'm not content every once in a while going to a conference. But I believe there's more, so I'm going to go deeper and deeper, deeper into God to discover what He has for me. Because what Paul says could become a reality to us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. What's the rest of it? What God has for who? Us who love Him. You know, I've seen a lot of incredible things in my life. I've got to pray for people to get out of wheelchairs. I prayed for a guy who got healed of AIDS. Pray for eyes to open up. We prayed for ears to open up. I've seen all kinds of miracles. There's one miracle I haven't seen yet that I'm praying for and I'm believing for. I want to see a limb grow out. I mean, that's power. I mean, you can raise somebody from the dead. That's easy. You just call their spirit back in there alive. But you want to see something miracle. A limb grow out. That's what I want to see. How many are with me? I want to see these things, but you know what? It's not going to happen with me being content where I am. It's not going to happen with me just coming to church every once in a while and feeling okay about myself and going on my daily life. But if we continue to press in and go deeper and deeper with God, we can begin to discover things that we've never even known existed. The things that we saw maybe some evangelist or some prophet do. The things that we saw on TBN or television. These miracle signs. And wonder, man, that would be so sweet. Why can't we do that? It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit living within us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. No one carries Bibles anymore, do they? How many brought a Bible? How many of you under 25 brought a Bible to church? How many over 40 brought a Bible to church? Yeah, that's a sign right there. How many brought your telephone that has Bible app on it? How many have your iPad that has Bible app? How many of you just were in Bible quiz and you memorized the whole Bible? All right. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake, and I won't pronounce that just to save us all, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught, your Bible probably says nothing, right? Haven't caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down my nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up from the shore, left everything, and followed him. This morning, I want us to consider several principles found in this passage of Scripture for us to be discover new things, for us to have new experiences with God, because I believe there's things that we can apply from this passage to help us in our journey with God. And the first thing is this. We need to get into the boat with Jesus. All my life, I grew up in church. I hear sermons. You need to get out of the boat. You need to get out of the boat. You need to do something. You need to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat. And you know what I've discovered in my years of ministry and the years of being a Christian? Most people are not even in the boat with Jesus, so it's hard for them to get out of the boat with Jesus. And so what happens in our churches, we get somebody saved and we need an usher, we need a greeter, we need this, and we want people to be involved and feel a part, so we got them doing all these things. And guess what? They never really even made that commitment to Jesus. They're not in the boat with Jesus. They haven't been walking and spending time with Jesus, and we have them serving in positions. Now, I believe anybody can serve, don't get me wrong. But most people, when they come to Christ, truly aren't in the boat. They make that commitment, they come forward for salvation, they say a prayer, but they have no idea what they just did. You know, what do we do? We paint this picture. You come to Jesus, everything's okay. You're going to love life. Marriage is perfect. You'll have lots of money. Kids are going to come into order. Everything's going to be wonderful. And we come to Jesus. That's the concept we have, perfect peace, and we're great. And guess what happens the next day? All hell breaks loose in our lives. We're like, they didn't tell me this at the altar when I was coming to Jesus. But that's what happened, because the enemy's mad because you're coming to Jesus. You're getting your life in order. But what happens is, we know about the boat. We know about Jesus. Maybe we grew up in the church. We went to Sunday school. We had a nice little felt board here, and we stick stuff on the felt board. Now you're telling my age, right? And that was Sunday school. And maybe we went to Christian education. Maybe we went to Bible study. We did these different things, and we know all about it. We memorized scriptures. I mean, when I was a little kid, every day when I went to bed, my mom had me memorizing scriptures. I actually got paid to do it, too, so I did it well. There's always an incentive, but the seed was sown. So every time I memorize a new chapter in Psalm, I get another $5. Is there any kids in here that want to try that one with their parents? But we really don't have that relationship with Jesus. We're really not in the boat with Jesus. You see, there comes a time in our lives when we say, okay, I know about God, I've heard about God, I know what the Bible says, I know what His promises are, I hear great preaching and teaching, but I don't think I've really made that commitment to get into the boat with Jesus. You see, it's one thing to float around the outside and have an acknowledgement, conocimiento, of the things of God and the things of church and how things work. But it's another thing to actually crawl into the boat and be with Jesus. You know, when I was in junior high, do they still have junior high in the States? Middle school, one of those, middle school. They used to call me preacher boy. You can imagine why. I like to preach. But then I got to high school and did the high school thing, captain of the soccer team. You did the typical high school thing, if you guys know what I'm saying. I really wasn't walking with God anymore. I was a sophomore in college. I was studying to be a chiropractor. I was dating a pastor's daughter. I could talk the talk. I could walk the walk. I'd sit down with dinner. We'd pray. I had no scripture. I looked like a good, clean-cut Christian kid. My sophomore year, went to this evangelistic outreach. The power team, I don't know if you ever heard of them. They break things and bust things, all that stuff. Okay. I'm sitting there, and this message, and I love the guys, but it wasn't like some profound message or anything, but all of a sudden I'm sitting there, and I realize, dude, you're not in the boat with Jesus. You know all about Jesus. You know what your parents' faith is. You know everything there is to know about the Bible and religion and Christianity. Your parents are deacons in the church. You grew up in Royal Rangers. You did all this stuff, but you're not really walking with Jesus. And at 19 years old, sitting in a church in Wexford, Pennsylvania, I got into the boat with Jesus, and I said, you know what? I want this for myself. I don't want my parents' religion. I don't want to live on my parents' faith. I want this for myself. And at the time I made that commitment, it wasn't just all of a sudden I give myself to God. God said, you're not supposed to be a chiropractor. You're supposed to be a preacher. And so my life was radically transformed from an act of obedience, from submission. But I believe that that's where many people are in a Christian walk. We could be know all about church and Jesus for 40, 50 years, but are we truly sitting in the boat moving along with Jesus? And the other thing that happens so many times is we're in the boat with Jesus and we're going along, and all of a sudden we have some rocky times in our marriage and the waves are getting rockier and rockier and we get a divorce, and guess what? We fly out the back of the boat. We're no longer with Jesus. And we're praying for somebody to be healed, and we know God's going to heal them because we're people of faith, and we're praying, and other people are getting healed, and guess what? Our loved one dies. And guess who gets the blame? God. And so we blame God, and we get irritated, and we're angry, and we're bitter, and we can't forgive, and all of a sudden, we're not in the boat with Jesus anymore. You see, if we want to discover all that God has for us, if you want to understand your calling in life, you want to understand your destiny and who God's called you to be, there's no other way except for to be in the boat with Jesus. So if we want to discover these greater things that we're discussing today, we need to, one, get in the boat with Jesus. And if we look at the text, we'll continue to come down on the text. The next thing that happens is this. They're on the shore with Jesus. They get into the boat, and Jesus says, push out a little bit from the shore. And so they begin to go out from the shore. At this present moment, they weren't in the deep. It just says they pushed out from the shore. They begin to launch out. You see, if we're talking about the boat, we need to understand that boats are made to be in the water. Boats are made to be moving forward. If the design of the boat is not to go backwards, the design of a boat is to move forward. And from what I understand, if you have boats and you dry dock your boat, that's when the damage comes, is when it's out of the water being dry docked, not in the water. You see, we're made to be in the water. We're made to be moving forward. We're made to launch out from the shore. What does that mean for us if we're going to apply that to our lives using this illustration? It means we need to step out of our comfort zones. We can't stay tied to the shore and expect God to do incredible things in our lives when we're just sitting in our comfort zones week after week. It's impossible. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I trapped, I fished, I hunted. My dad had a gun rack on the back of his truck. I don't realize that till this moment, but I think I grew up a redneck. Oh. I mean, now that I'm talking about it, it sounds like it, doesn't it? Rednecks play soccer, though? Probably not, right? Okay, I grew up a redneck, all right? We all cool with that. My dad has a cabin in a mountain my mom's never been to. That probably classifies me as a redneck. Lord, have mercy on my soul. But one of the things we did was we go fishing. I like trout fishing in streams better than anything because it's calm, quiet, you got your waders on. But the other thing we do is we go to lakes and we cast and catch our little bluegills and sunfish. You guys remember that? Okay, good. I'm in the right crowd. And as I got a little older, guess what we got? We got a canoe. And so we go in the canoe, and guess what I'd be catching now? I'd be catching some bass and some perch. I got a little older. My dad says, hey, let's take a fly-in charter to Canada. I said, I'm down with the redneckism. So what do? We take a fly-in charter to Canada. And so now we're catching walleyes and northern pike and muskie. Now we're rocking it. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Well, guess what? Those are some big fish. I moved to Nicaragua. Say it with me, Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
Wow, that accent, Nicaragua. And guess what we start doing? Deep-sea fishing. And now I catch a barracuda that's about that big. And we're catching tuna and we're catching all these other things. But guess what? I couldn't have caught those big things that I've never had the opportunity to catch if I was still in Western Pennsylvania standing on the shore of Glade Mills. It ain't going to happen. But as I got into the boat and went a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper, I began to catch bigger fish, fish that I didn't even know existed. But it's not going to happen when we're in a comfort zone. What would happen in our lives if we begin to step out of our comfort zone and say, God, here I am, use me. I know what your word says. I hear what the preacher says. I know what Bill Johnson says in all his books. I want to do that. And we begin to step out of our comfort zone. Even when it's uncomfortable, we go into the grocery store and we're like, hey, I see you're limping. Could you mind if I pray for you? Or we go to a restaurant. And this one I use every time I preach. Go to a restaurant. We're going to order food. The waiter or waitress is going to come and give you your food. Because you're very good, holy Christian people, you're going to pray before you eat. How many pray before you eat? How many, that's the only time you ever pray? We pray before we eat. So what do? We say to the waiter or waitress, hey, we're going to pray for our food. Do you have anything we can pray for you? Only twice, and I have to say twice because it used to be only once, but like 2 weeks ago I did this and the girl told me she didn't want me to pray for her. Twice, and all the times I've done this in different parts of the world, literally, only two people have ever said, no, I don't want prayed for. It's that simple. It sounds crazy, but you know what? I say, hey, do you mind if we pray for you? What can I pray for you? And usually what happens is she begins to tell me something, and as she begins to tell me that, God begins to speak to me, and it's just not a prayer. Now I'm praying prophetically for her life. And she's like, whoa, dude, where did that come from? How'd you know that was going on? Because the door's open. It's that simple. But guess what? It takes us stepping beyond our comfort zone, because most of us aren't going to say to the waiter or waitress, hey, can we pray for you? If we walk with obedience and we walk with the listening ear, God speaks to us and wants to use us much more than we're aware of. But we need to get beyond ourselves. We need to step beyond our comfort zones. And as we say here, we begin to leave the comfort of the shore. Using this passage of scripture, what happens next? Jesus says what? Go out into the deep. Go out into the deep. Okay, we're beyond now leaving our comfort zone. Now we're just going to go a little further, take a little further step of faith, and we're going to go into the deep. Okay, that means we're letting go of all that stuff. We're beyond our fears. You can't see the shore anymore. You might be getting a little motion sickness because of the waves. But you know what? We're out where the things happen, where the discoveries are. But once again, if we don't get off the shore and begin to be moved out, it's not going to happen. We have to go into the deep. And you know what's awesome about this? I love this. What does Jesus say to Peter? Push out into the deep, and then what? Throw your nets off to the right side of the boat. What was Peter's response? Jesus, we've been fishing here all night. Remember what I said? And we didn't catch nothing. Think about this. Peter's a fisherman. He was fishing all night. He grew up on this lake. He knows the lakes. He knows the climate. He knows the seasons. He knows which fish are where in this huge lake at what times of the day. His dad taught him. His grandfather taught him. This is what he did. It says a little while before, he was sitting on the shores. They didn't catch anything. They were tending their nets. Could you imagine being a professional fisherman, coming home, tending your nets? You didn't catch anything. That means you're going home to say to your wife, I'm sorry, honey. We don't have any fish tonight. We don't have anything to trade in the market. We can't get vegetables. We can't get this. Because I stink as a fisherman. Because that's where he was at this present moment. He didn't catch anything. And here he is willing to go out to this boat with Jesus after fishing all night, staying up all night. Here he is in the middle of the lake, and Jesus says, go out a little deeper and throw it to the right. And what does he respond? Jesus, you know, you're a carpenter. You know, you got long hair. You got some calluses on your hand from being a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. This is what I've done all my life. My grandparents, grandparents. This is what they taught me to do. And you're going to tell me how to fish. Because that's how we do it with Jesus, right? Jesus says, hey, go do this. And you're like, you're talking to me. And we come up with these excuses. I can't do that, God, because, you know, I didn't go to Bible school, and I don't have the memory of the scriptures to be able, well, I can't go pray for that person because, you know, we have gifted people in the church that pray for the sick. Well, I can't prophesy because I'm not part of the prophetic team. And we come up with all these excuses. But he says, just throw your net over the right side. And he says, you know what, Jesus? I've been here all night. I have been fishing and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will do it. You catch the key there. Because you say so, I will do it. You see, Peter was walking in obedience. And see, this is the biggest thing we as Christians, I believe, struggle with. I believe in our hearts we truly are willing to do what Jesus says. I believe in our hearts we have that desire. But the problem is when he says to do it, we begin to question. It's not instant obedience. You know, it's one of the biggest things with my kids is raising my kids. I have a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, 17-year-old. And when they were littler, one of the biggest things was instant obedience. I'm not going to tell you three times to pick up your cards. It's the first time. If not the first time, there's consequences. You're still dealing with that with your daughter, aren't you? We'll pray for you. How many are parents? How many know what I'm talking about? How many do the 1, 2, 3? One. I'll give you 1, 2. Count to 2, 2. We've all been there, right? But we want instant obedience. Why? Because in the future, we can actually save them from harm. Don't touch the stove. Don't touch. Hey, I told you not to touch the stove. But think about our own lives as Christians. How many times God speaks to us, he tells us something, and guess what? We don't do it. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it next week. Maybe later. Oh, okay. Well, once I get out of debt, I'll do it. No, I can't give to the church right now because I got to pay off my satellite television and my new TV I bought. And, you know, and we come up with all these excuses. What would happen in our lives if we begin to literally walk in obedience? It's like there's a minister ministering, or you have a special service, and there's the anointing to heal, and You've been prayed for 15 times, but you feel in your heart that this is the time to be healed. There's just something in you stirring up, and you know that God's saying, go forward for prayer, go forward in prayer. And what do you say? God, I've been down there 15 times before. I know Samantha. Samantha, I just know her. She's what? Why would I go to Samantha to pray for me? And God's saying, go to Samantha to be prayed for me. You're like, well, you know, God. And what do? We lose out on the blessing. We lose out on being healed, that potential miracle. Think about how our lives would radically change if we started to walk in obedience. You see, it wouldn't just affect our immediate lives, but it would affect the lives of our loved ones and our family members. And see, if it begins to affect our lives and we're walking in obedience and God's moving in and through us, it begins to affect them, but then it begins to affect another circle because their lives are being ministered and touched. And then it begins to grow and grow. And we're no longer just touching our household, we're touching our neighborhood. And the neighborhood's touching the city, and the city's beginning to touch the state of Ohio. And let's be honest, I think one of the biggest things for us as Christians is truly walking in obedience. We know what the Word of God says, but we don't do it. If I asked you guys to quote me the Great Commission, Matthew 28, you would tell me what? Go into. Who does not know the Great Commission? And don't be ashamed, Rafe. Okay. Anybody else not know the Great Commission? Everybody but two people in this room know what the Great Commission is. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. Right? Go ahead. Teaching them to obey. You got it. Who knows it off by heart? Pastor? Okay. Would you give it to us?
Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations.
You hear him? Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. You hear it? Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All I've commanded. Teaching you to obey all I've commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Okay, this is the marching order if you're Baptist, if you're Lutheran, if you're Methodist, if you're Pentecostal, if you're Assemblies of God, Church of God, Independent Christian Church, Brothers in Christ, Disciples of Christ. Am I missing some friends? Who else am I missing? Nazarene, Presbyterian, Methodist. That is our marching order. If you are a Christian and you are a believer, that is our marching order. That's what we're called to do. From the time we're this big to the time, that's what our churches preach and teach on. If you look at our mission statements of churches, that's what we're called. If you look at our doctrinal statement, this is what we're called to do. Question, and I'm not judging you. How many of us are doing it? How many of us are going into all the world and making disciples of all nations? How many of us are sharing our faith with the people around us? How many of us are stepping out of our comfort zone and praying for those that need prayer for? How many of us are going to work and we see somebody with an issue, instead of avoiding them, we actually go to them to minister because they have an issue or problem? I mean, let's be real. And myself included. I used the illustration the other night on my phone for an hour in line at the airport that I listened to or talked to anybody around me or form a relationship or ministry. No, I was wasting my time on social media on my phone. But how many of us are truly walking in obedience to God's word? And I'm not saying about being faithful to our spouse or, you know, we go to church and we give. I'm not, but beyond that. We're talking about going deeper into God. We're talking about experiencing things we haven't seen or heard. How many of us are being obedient to what God's called us to do? If you want to see healing, guess what? You got to go where sick people are. You want to see miracles? You got to go to people that need a miracle. You want to see signs and wonders? You got to go out and find them. I'm not Benny Hinn. I don't have people lining up in my house, at my door to be prayed for. If I want to pray for somebody, I got to go find them. And if we begin to walk in obedience and do what God's called us to do and take these steps of faith, we're going to begin to see just as the disciples saw. What happens in the disciples' life? Peter's here and he says, God, Jesus, I've been here all night and I haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'm going to throw out my net. And because he was obedient, he throws out his net. What happened? God responds. He responds to an act of obedience. You follow me? Responded to that act of obedience. And as he throws the net, he catches such a harvest of fish that he can't bring it in. He's got to get the other boat. And the net's still breaking because there's so much fish between two boats. The miracle took place. God says to Abraham, go sacrifice your son Isaac. In obedience, he willingly went and did what God called him to do. And he's about to do exactly what God calls him to do. And guess what happens? A miracle takes place and there's a ram caught in the thicket. Why? Because of an act of obedience. And we could look at so many characters of the Bible, the acts of obedience, and Noah, and all these different characters. And when God responded, it was because they took an act. They were walking in obedience. It was an act of obedience. And one of the coolest things with this is they catch this big harvest of fish, the greatest harvest Peter's probably ever saw. And as soon as he gets this harvest ashore, what does God say? You're no longer a fisher of fishies. You're now a fisher of men. And it says they left their nets, they left everything, began to follow Jesus. Wait a minute, he's a fisherman. This is what he lived for, is to catch these fish. And he caught all these fish. But he realized there's something bigger and better. And so they literally left everything and began to follow Jesus. Once again, an act of obedience, following the Lord and Savior. So my question as I wrap up today, first off, how many of us are actually in the boat with Jesus? Because I think it's something we all need to do at different times in our lives is reevaluate our lives, look at our lives and say, okay, God, am I as passionate as I was about you when I first got saved? Am I as close to you as the day I first got saved? Because many times, you know what, we're saved for years, but we're distant from God. We were much closer 10, 15 years ago than we are now. And we say, okay, am I still walking with you? Do I fellowship with you? Do I have communion with you? Am I praying? Am I hearing your voice? Am I seeking your face? Because we can do the different acts. We can serve. We can give. We can raise our hands in church. We can do all that. And we look great. But really, where's our heart? Are we truly intimate with Jesus? Are we truly in the boat with Jesus? Because if we're not, that's the first place we need to start, is to get back into the boat with Jesus, or maybe get in the boat with Jesus for the first time. And then we look at our lives and say, okay, are we willing to come off the shore? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to be sent to another country? Are we willing to go on a mission trip? Are we willing to work at the soup kitchen? Are we willing to help with the ministry we just heard here earlier? Are we willing to do these things as a way of stepping out of our comfort zone, being used? And when God begins to speak to us to do this, to do that, or to give here, or give there, are we willing to do what God says to do? Because I guarantee if we're willing to walk in obedience, we're going to see the miracles that we read about in the Bible. We're going to see the harvest of fish, whatever that would look like where you are in your life. We're going to see the miracles. We're going to see transformation take place. Many of us, when we start walking in obedience and accept the fact that we're not in the boat with Jesus, but we get back in the boat with Jesus, we'll have experience like I had where God completely changes the direction you're going. If you guys would, stand to your feet with me this morning. If everybody just bow their heads with me and close your eyes for a moment. Just no one looking around. I want you to focus on yourself for a moment. I want you to do some reflection. If you're here this morning, you could say, you know what? I've never been in the boat with Jesus. I know about Jesus. I've been to church. I grew up in the church. Maybe been coming to this church for a while. But you, looking at your life, you can honestly say that you're not in the boat with Jesus. But you recognize that you need to get in the boat with Jesus, that you need to commit your life to him. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, if that's you this morning, you say, yes, I want to get in the boat with Jesus and make him my Lord and Savior. I want you to raise your hand where you are this morning. With nobody looking around, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see more hands going up. I see your hands. Praise God. I see your hands. More hands. My next question is this. Maybe you were in the boat. You had a relationship with God. Maybe you're even involved in ministry, but through trials, tribulations, some things happen in your life, you fell out of the boat. Because of hurts, because of disappointments, you fell out of the boat and you know it's time to get back in. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand this morning where you are. I see your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands on my left side too. I see your hand over there, sir. I see your hand. Praise God. I want to pray for you guys this morning, and then we're going to continue to pray a little more. Father, I thank you for those that raised their hand this morning, recognizing their desire and their need to make things right with you. Lord, I thank you for their willingness to raise their hand, that step of faith that they're taking today. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will meet them right where they are today. Lord, that they will learn to forgive and they'll learn to receive your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross for our sins, that we can have forgiveness of sins, and we can have eternal life with you in heaven. I ask that you minister to each person that raised their hand today as they're confessing you as their Lord and Savior, as they're making things right, that you give them the strength they need, you'll give them the wisdom they need to make the right decisions. Lord, you'll help them to break off relationships that need to be broken off. You'll help them to release people that have offended them or hurt them. Lord, that they will receive your strength today to do the right thing. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's here today and that the way that you're working in and through our lives. God, I ask that you empower us from on high today to take steps of faith, to walk boldly. Lord, to not be hindered by fear, to not be reserved in what we believe anymore. But God, you'll empower us today to be world changers and history makers. God, that you'll put words in our mouth to speak to people. You give prophetic utterances will flow forth through us. The words of wisdom and words of knowledge will come out of us, Lord. That you'll anoint our hands to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Lord, it is our desire to be used by you. Help us to move beyond ourselves, our fears, our doubts, but let us become people of faith today. If you do me this favor, take the person's hand next to you. We're going to pray for those on the right and left of us before I turn the service over to your pastor. I want us to pray out loud. I want us to pray fervently. I want us to pray with expectation. I believe that God wants to touch us this morning. So let's pray for those on the right and left of us. Father, we thank you for those on the right and left of us today. We thank you for their life. Lord, we thank you for the plans and purpose you have for them. Lord, we thank you for their destiny. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to pray for them, to bless them. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and encourage them this morning. Lord, that you meet every need that they have, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Lord, that you take off heaviness off of people. You take off depression. Lord, you take off fear for these people that are bound by fear. Lord, there's somebody that's bound by fear that has trouble at sleeping at night. They need to take medicine to sleep. They need to medicate just to fall asleep because of the nightmares that they have. God, that you bring healing to that situation. You bring healing to that life tonight. Lord, that they'll have peace, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will be upon them, Lord. That you renew their mind, Lord. Renew their mind tonight. Let them have the mind of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing. We thank you for empowering them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for touching them fresh and anew today. Lord, let them begin to see themselves as you see them. Mighty warriors in the kingdom of God. Lord, take the blinders off of our eyes and let us begin to see with our spiritual eyes, Lord. Let us not look just to the natural, but let us be looking to the supernatural. Lord, let us see things and situation and people the way that you see them, God. Lord, I ask that you fill us fresh and anew today with your Holy Spirit, with your power. Lord, it will walk in boldness, we'll walk in the authority that you've entrusted to us. And Lord, with our own eyes, we'll begin to see signs and wonders and miracles. Lord, what a privilege it is to serve you. What a privilege it is to know you. As you continue to speak to each and every one of us, Lord, have your way in and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team would come up.